I can't believe. But I want to encourage you today. You got to hope again. You have to. And hope isn't automatic. It's not just going to happen because, okay, I got hope. No, you're going to have to make some moves. You're going to have to make some moves in the direction and to put your hope in God. Not in a person, not in something, but put your hope in the Lord. I love this. I read this last week, and I'm not going to be long this morning. I'm going to share this with you, and I'm going to give you three little thoughts to go in, and then we're going to move on. Rufus, I love you playing with me here. I feel like we're on the same team when you're back there. My brother from another mother. How many of you appreciate Rufus? Psalm 33, verse 16. Oh, by the way, and if you didn't take one of these, and you're not reading this every day, 3-minute little devotional, I doubt if you're even reading your Bible then. In fact, if you didn't take one of these, and don't tell me the only thing I read is my Bible, that is a lie and an excuse. I feel a little something different coming on me in this service. Get this. Discipline yourself to open it up and your Bible every day, whether you read your Bible on your phone, an iPad, whatever. Take it inside of you. The Word of God, David said, I hid in my heart and I wouldn't sin against God. Take this. Read this. It's a 50-day devotional up to that day of Pentecost. And we're going to celebrate together. I hope all of you will come to Buffalo on June 9th. That's just not for a few. That's for all of you. Psalm 33. He said, no king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance despite all its great strengths. It cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who hope is in his unfailing love to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He's our help, our shield. In him our hearts rejoice. We trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. The writers, they're not sure if this was a psalm by David. Most theologians believe it is, and I tend to have that belief that it is as well. Because this next verse of scripture I want to read to you out of 1 Samuel, it kind of leads up the whole scenario of the thought of the story. It kind of leads up out of 1 Samuel chapter 30. And maybe you've read this and you've heard me even share about it. But I want to share some things. I want to share the story with you. And I want to give you these three thoughts to help you get your hope back, to help you get some joy back in your life. Samuel, 1 Samuel 30. I'm reading out of the New King James this morning. David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons, his daughters, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar, the priest of Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail you'll recover all. And David, verse 9, he and the 600 men who were with him came to the brook Besor, where those who stayed who were left behind. I love that phrase. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind and were so weary that they could not cross the brook Besor. And I want to just share this for a few moments on how to get your hope back. That maybe some of you have lost an edge. You've lost some things, some critical components of your life through a series of poor decisions, poor planning, or no planning, or somebody else's poor choices. I understand sometimes we are victims of circumstances that come to our lives. But God wants to help you out of that and get you in a position so that you can experience his great provision in your life. And position is such a strong word that you've got to know that place where God has called you to. Because when you get into the right position, then you will understand and know the great provision that he has for your life. There was a season in my life where I was out of position, that I was out of the place where God wanted me to, and I missed a lot of things. But I'm so grateful to God that even if you are out of that place for a season. When you come back to him, he will help make up everything that the locust has stolen. Everything that the enemy has taken from you, God said, I'm going to bring it back to you today. And some of you, you've come and you've been hopeless, but I want to encourage you today that you're going to get into a place of hope and of restoration. And God has a gift that is going to change your life, and it's coming to you. And this experience, this story of David tells us plenty. God brings him through great victories. He transitions him through loss, and then he experiences this recovery. And isn't that just a beautiful portrait of what our lives are? We have great victories. We go through loss. We go through times of sadness. But then God gives us the opportunity to recover and to get our hope back. You know the story how the prophet Samuel came to David's house, Jesse. He was, God had instructed him to lay his hands on one of those boys and anoint him as king. And as he went down the line to all these boys, he said, it's none of them. Do you have another one? And his dad said, well, yeah, but he's just a young kid. He's out in the back 40s taking care of the sheep. And Samuel said, bring him here. He's the one. And he anointed him and he poured oil on his head and he called him into the work of the Lord. But it didn't happen right then as though he thought. There is a period of waiting. There is a time that we have to go through after God touches our lives. And some people get frustrated with that. And they don't want to wait. And they don't want to experience the trials and some of the challenges that God brings them through in order to make them what he has called them to be. Sometimes that God will take you through a difficult time, and it's not that he's punishing you. He's just strengthening you to make you who he wants you to be. Oh, there's so many things coming to my mind right now, but I want to keep on going. Many people experience the hand of God on their lives, and then they want immediately, okay, God, I'm ready. And you're not ready. You're not ready. I'm not ready. He's got to move you. He's got to allow you. Paul said, and I shared this last week out of Corinthians, the Lord set a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet my body so I wouldn't get puffed up or conceited. But then even in all that, Paul says, I found that secret place that in my weakness, then you give me the supernatural power that makes me stronger than anything I've ever known before. And if you sidestep that process, you never know what it is that he wants to do in and through your life. David, he grows up and he comes to his battle where his brothers in the Israelite army is fighting this individual Goliath and the Philistines. And Goliath had them all shaking. And David brings lunch to his brothers and he says, who is this? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of God? Take me to him. I beat up a bear and a lion. This dude is nothing. You know the story. He goes out there. He cranks up his slingshot. Nails him right between the eyes. He goes down on the ground. And David does what any great little Jewish boy does. He goes and he cuts his head off. And he holds it up. And he says, see this? There's more than that if you don't back down right now. And the Bible says that David, as he went through the town, that people begin to sing his praise and tell everybody how great Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. And it turned on a dime there. David was once a hero, and now he goes from a hero to a zero and goes on the run from Saul because Saul wants to kill him. Jealousy rules in his heart. And David runs, and he runs into a cave, and he finds this group of men that are disconnected, they're rejected, and they look to David as a leader, and David begins to mentor them and speak into their lives and grows them up to be a mighty army. And now he not only develops this group of soldiers, but now they're going to go and work for the Philistine army, the same army that he stood up against. That's another story for another time. And they came to this place where they had now, these Philistines were going to go and face the Israelites again. And the leaders of the Philistines, they told David, you guys, you can't go because we know when we get into battle, you'll turn on us and fight for them. instead of fighting for us, let them go. And as they're going back to their town of Ziklag, they look up in the distance and they see smoke rising up off the horizon. And they, I can just imagine, they begin to run towards it, and they find that the town that they lived in had been burned to the ground and their families were gone. Can you imagine the feeling in your heart? You want to talk about brokenness? You want to talk about hurt? And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 4 that David and the people were with him. They lifted up their voices and they wept. And they wept until they couldn't weep anymore. I've had that feeling in my life a couple times. But the story doesn't just end there. Thank God. I always have a tendency to want to read ahead. The story in verse 18 and 19, it says David recovered all. He got his wife back. He says nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great. Some sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered everything. And that's the power of God. But it just doesn't happen automatically. And I think too many times churches and leaders have painted this false picture of who God is and what he can do. If you'll do this, then it'll just automatically, God will drop something out of the sky to you and everything will be all right. But there is a pathway in the process of the recovery that you and I need to go. And I want to just close with these three thoughts with you today. Number one, you've got to believe in the power of prayer, not just believe in prayer. You've got to believe. You've got to be convinced in what prayer can do in your life. The Bible says he inquired of the Lord. A lot of people, they believe in prayer, but they're not convinced that they, when they pray, anything great will happen. And nothing could be further from the truth that God moves on our lives when we begin to pray. And the scripture says he inquired of the Lord. The word inquire there literally means he begged of God. He got down on his knees and he wanted to hear the voice of God answer him in one of his lowest, darkest points. And I want to just remind some of you of that today. That when is the last time that you became so desperate before the Lord that you would get down on your knees and you would cry out to the Lord? I mean, call upon him until you were weeping and you were blowing the business out of your nose because God was, you were having such an encounter with him and that you needed him. And if he didn't come through in that moment of prayer, that you couldn't go on any further. When people come to a place like that, God begins to change the situation that they're in. He begins to bring hope back. He begins to bring joy back. He begins to bring the things that you've lost in your life that are contributors to those, to the hope and to the joy and to the peace. He begins to bring those things back when you pray. And the Bible says, he said, shall I pursue him? Shall I pursue? And the Bible says, he answered him. And can I just tell you today that when David called out, he didn't say, God, you got to do this, this, and this. When he inquired of the Lord, he said, what shall I do? You know that there is an onus on you and I for God to speak to and for you to act on. This notion that we just sit there and, well, the Lord, he's just going to take care of all of it and we just relax and everything. Come on, you got to make a move today. You've got to make a move today. You've got to trust him. And sometimes he'll answer you and he'll tell you a pathway that you're not excited about taking, that you've tried to avoid, you've tried to get out of. And God's saying, no. And he bring you right back to that. This is the way. Walk you in it. And when you get into that pathway, he begins to cause you to recover those things which you have lost. Which leads me on to the second point today. And I want to read that next verse out of chapter 30, verse 9 and 10. It said, David went, 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. And David pursued, he and 400 men, but 200 stayed behind. Here's the reality. For David to get his hope back and to recover, he had to keep going when others decided they would not. And if you're going to go to where God wants you to go in life, sometimes not everybody goes with you to that place. In fact, you know, when I was praying over this late last night and just studying in it, I felt like some people, they're carrying people with them that they haven't even seen for 10, 15, 20 years. And you're still carrying with you who they are in your life, the offense, the hurt, the pain that they assaulted you with. And the Lord is telling you today, you got to disconnect from that wagon. If you're going to go where God wants you to go, if you're going to get your hope back, if you're going to recover, you got to let some of that go. That's not only the people in your life. Come on today. You got to move on from that. This isn't hard. I'm not trying to be mean or hurtful to anybody. I'm trying to tell you the truth. And I hung out with a guy before I was saved. He was no good for my life. I liked him. He was my friend. But you know, I knew that day that I gave my heart to Jesus, I couldn't go with him anymore. Because every time we'd get together, the bottles would open up, the cans would crack, the drinking would start. Every single time. And how am I going to live the life that God has called me to and take that with me? I had to let go of that. And you got to let go of some of that stuff too. You say, well, they're the only friends I got. You know what I found out? That God will give you the friends you need when you let go of the people that you don't need in your life anymore. Some people say, well, you don't know what my father did. I'm fatherless. Do you know what? If you'll let go of that pain and hurt, God will put another father in your life. He'll never be your natural dad. He will never do that. But somebody that'll love you, somebody that'll bless you, somebody that'll speak into your life, lay their hands on you, and pray that father's prayer over your life. He'll do that for you. And sometimes you just need that push in that direction to let the wrong people go out of your life so that God can bring the right people into your life. And some of you, this really hit me. Some of you have been carrying that person around for 20 years. You don't even know. You haven't even seen them. You don't even know where they are. And you're carrying them right around with you, wondering what they think about every move you make. Let them go. Move on. So that God can help you to recover all. You got to pray. You got to move on. And then I'm going to end with this. You just got to go after it sometimes. But don't you go after it until you pray. And until you let go of that that's hindering you. Those people that are dragging you back. You can't do that. Number three, David, the Bible says in verse 10, David pursued. God said, go. You can go. He pursued. He and 400 men, 200 that had stayed behind, they didn't come. David went in the direction where his family was at. And some of you got to move in that direction. You know how many people come up to me and they tell me things like, all I want is my family back. I want this back. I want that back. But they're not doing the things that will allow them to get their family back. I don't know anybody's particular situation. I'm not speaking to anybody in particular, but if the Spirit of God is nudging you when I say this, listen up. You got to quit doing some things. If God told you to go in this direction, go. And David went into the direction where his family was. People say they want relationships, but they don't go where relationships are. They head in opposite ways that lead them down a bad pathway. You have to go in the destination, in the direction where your destiny lies. Oh my goodness, this is so important. I remember when we lived in Seattle and we were making the decision we're going to move back to New York. And this man, he was in the church. He said, I want to meet with you. And he met with me. And I remember where we sat, where I'm having breakfast. He said, this is what he says to me. He said, God told me. I told part of the story in the first service. He said, God told me that if you go back, you're going to lose everything. You'll lose your family. I don't even think I ever told my wife this. You're going to lose your wife. You're going to lose your children. You're going to lose everything. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, but I felt the Lord tell me that this is what I'm supposed to do. To go in the direction where God is leading me. You see, not everybody is going to stand on the sidelines and say, go. We're so happy for you. Go. The ironic thing is, as I left there and I pursued the destiny and the direction that God had called me, that's when my life began to change. This is the part I left out of the first service. That man, he left his wife maybe a year later. He's been married 3 or 4 times and is in multiple relationships since and doesn't even serve the Lord anymore. That breaks my heart. But my brothers and my sisters, you got to go in the direction that God is calling you to go, that God is calling you to go. If you want to be healthy, you got to move in the healthy direction. If you want a great family, you got to move in that direction. If you want a great marriage, you got to move in that direction, because it's not just about what you want. It's about the best for the destiny that God is calling you to. And if you want to get your joy back, if you want to get your hope back, if you want to get your life back, you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to make a decision to let some of the others go. And then you got to get up. And if you want restoration, if you want God's best, if you want the destiny that God has called you to, the fulfillment of everything that He has desired for your life, you got to get up and go after it today. Come on now. You got to keep going when others decide, no, I'm done. I'm not going to go. That old song, it just rose up in my heart. I can't remember it all. Though none go with me, still I shall follow. The cross before me, the world behind me. You got to make up that decision today. I knew you'd pick that right up, Rufus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Come on, is anybody with me on that today? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Come on, are you going to go with Him today? Come on, put your hands together. Are you going to go with Him? Close your eyes, bow your heads with me today. If God's been moving in your heart, if He's been just stirring you, even while I'm speaking, even while I'm closing right now, I want you to just make a move to come down to the front. Prayer people, just come down. I don't want you to start praying for anybody yet until I close in prayer. But I believe that for some of you, maybe God is reaching out to you today. Maybe this is the day for you to give your life to Christ. When I gave my heart to Jesus, I used to go to the church and nothing, I could care less. I just went because I wanted the girl. If you're here today just because you want a girl, okay, that's the first step. But I'll never forget when the preacher began to preach that day and something began to happen in my heart, in my life. And he said, if you want Jesus in your life today, you got to get up out of your seat and you got to come to the altar. I remember looking over at my girlfriend. She's my wife now. This year will be 40 years. And I said, will you go with me? She goes, no. You've got to go alone on this. And then this old song. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Here's the other part. Just come down right now if God's moving on your heart. Just come down. Just come stand down here. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Some of you need that right now. Though none go with me, still I will follow. If one of you get up, God will use you as a leader to bring the five that are worried about going alone. It's okay, just come. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Some of you, you've been caught up in addictions, You've stayed under the radar. Nobody's going to ask you details, but God wants to set you free of that today. I'm here as an ambassador from heaven to help you to get what God has for you. The cross before me. I'm going to close in just a minute. And after I close and I dismiss you, I don't want you to come down then. This is your moment right now. I feel an urging from heaven for you to get out of your seat and to come right now. Not when the crowd leaves. You're afraid somebody's going to see you. Come now. This is your day. This is your time. This is your moment. Though none go with me, Still I will follow, young and old. No, none go with me. Still I will follow, though none go with me. Still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. Thank you, Lord. Spirit of the living God, come quickly. Last call. I just felt this, just this impression from heaven this morning. Thank you, Lord God. We love you, Lord. We praise your holy name, God. Mighty God you are. Mighty God. There's a, maybe already here, but I sense in my heart, there's a marriage even when I was saying, when I was saying sometimes you got to move on, that you were thinking that's my answer. I can leave. I can move forward. That's not what the Lord was saying. He wants to give you the help to recover, to make alive again, to make new. And if you'll step out, you'll obey Him today. I'm telling you, He'll come alongside of you. He'll be a blessing in your life. Maybe you're in a relationship. Maybe it's abusive. It's hurting. It's destructive. God wants to heal it. He wants to restore it. There's a pathway out of it. And we want to help you. God wants to help you. This is your day. This is your moment. I'm going to close. Spirit of the living God, in every life, be honored and greatly glorified today. Meet every single need. Some, Lord, that today that are here that are in the process of making some great decisions in their lives, I pray that this will be that moment for them. I give you thanks for healing and restoration and hope. Lord, for some, they're giving their life to you today. Be greatly glorified. Be greatly honored in this house now. In every life, I pray. For your glory, I ask it. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody agrees. It says, amen. Amen. Come on, do you love Jesus today? Go in His grace today. I love you so much. Thank God for you. If you're going to get water baptized, sign up in the back today before you leave. I love you. Go in His grace today. He's got a great plan for you.